SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM, 201 Sports Zone, 964. Listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, stevebick.com. A very blustery, nasty day. And the weather downstate may be worse. High winds. And, you know, these winds roll in to knock the leaves off the trees. That's how this nature works. But downstate, high winds and canceled. Racing at Belmont, KO'd. But the good news is the weekend should be very nice. And once this storm, but if you haven't utilized your radar equipment on your phone, oh my God, it's like a gigantic, it's like the blob. Just this enormous thing. And, you know, it was tracking this way. And then, you know, a lot of times you say, well, they never get it right. Well, they got this right. And of course, last night, the preemptive canceling of the Yankee Astro game. So Mattress Mac, going to be stretched out another day or two. I don't know. Astros, yeah. I haven't even had a chance to talk about that with Jim McInvale, but his promotion that set him up to get clobbered on mattress sales, on betting sales, and he's covered himself with straight bets on the Astros to win the World Series. And either way, with the Astros win, customers win, and Mac has covered himself. But racing for the weekend looks okay, and that includes the New York Bred Showcase Day. They drew that card yesterday down in Maryland as well. The Maryland Million, that card came up great too. It's a big, yeah, there's all the, we talked about Remington for tomorrow, and Louisiana's got another Louisiana feature. So it's a big weekend for the state bred programs around the country, and of course at Far Hills. And much as Guy Torsiglieri and Bill Gallo yesterday laid out, this weather, this rain, good soaking rain, and turf should be absolutely perfect. Going to be in the 60s on Saturday, and it looks completely sunny and gorgeous. So, and meanwhile, at Keeneland, Sycamore today, yesterday, and this has really been the case. In fact, didn't Jeremy Plonk talk about this quite a bit when he visited Tuesday? The opportunities to nail down the multis have been really tricky. And yesterday, it was, of course, the feature where the Chad Brown for Shadwell, that Emirati, you know, very much, you know, was the horse to beat and all, but could not get past Louder Than Bombs. The three-year-old for David Fox, who certainly kept good company, and this really was it's got to be a career best. I can't imagine it's not. But he had been, you know, he'd been off since May, came back in August in an off the turfer, and then at Churchill ran evenly and came forward significantly. Would not let Emirati get by. And whether you say Emirati hung or, you know, Louder Than Bombs dug in, either way, it made it really tough. I mean, depending on how you approached that sequence. And you know, it had a couple of good hits in and around that sequence, and that included Cofactor, the Kelly Breen for Stoneway. And, you know, Kelly, I saw where Kelly actually claimed a couple of horses earlier on the card for himself. The sequence also included a very nice two-year-old winner for Paul McGee and Silverton Hill. The familiar pink silks with the fleur-de-lis past the plate, you know, certainly was, you know, one of the two or three horses that looked prominent. I actually tried to get the first-time starter involved that really that had every reason to, on paper, pedigree-wise, to run well, but really didn't. Just kind of loped along at the back of the pack. That was Party Goer. We'll look for Party Goer down the road, I guess, that filly. But then the Nightcap, actually, too. I'm a barn cat. When I got knocked out of the pick four, kind of keyed in. And here again, I was trying to get some prices, and I'm a barn cat, 7-1. So some good multi-race mutuals because of the $40 winner for David Fox. A Violence gelding, Louder Than Bombs. And you remember him from the winter at Gulfstream. He danced a lot of the big dances and was respectable. But this was a step forward. When was he gelded? He was gelded in August. So look down the road. Fun day yesterday at Keeneland. And then again today, you got another nice set of races. The Sycamore, the Grade 3. These next couple of days too, into the Raven Run and the Valley View. Nice cards. Each of these days at Keeneland, they also have got a nice allowance. You got another two-year-old race where Brian Lynch has got Complexifier, who had made some noise as a potential juvenile turf participant or juvenile filly participant, and not juvenile, is it? No, a colt, excuse me. But there was, you know, some mutterings that after he broke his maiden at Churchill in September that, you know, there was something maybe there, but he's going to stay short for now. This is an overanalyze out of a Freud mare for Fort Springs Racing, 5-2, and I thought very much the horse to beat in that two-year-old allowance. And you got a second-level allowance on the turf as well. Big full field of nice horses going as the start of the pick four. So another day, another nice day at Keeneland. And maybe we'll slip some opinions in as the morning goes. And then I mentioned, you know, New York, you've got Saturday's card set. And looks like we're going to get our own Voltairine started on Saturday in the third as part of that snake sequence. The Maid of the Mist, then the Mohawk, the Empire Classic, the Hudson, the Empire Classic, the Empire Distaff, the Ticonderoga, and the Sleepy Hollow. This is always a fun day. All these state bred days. Yes, there's some heavy favorites like we talked about with Mary Rampolini yesterday. And that'll be true in Maryland too, in the Maryland Million. But you also get your share of kooky prices that kind of jump up in these spots. And in some cases, it's horses getting back against their own kind. Maybe they were facing open company, etc. So we'll tomorrow, particularly on weekend preview, we'll dig in to the weekend action. Today, we've got a visit coming from Nicole Russo, who I promised yesterday. Nicole is doing the juvenile turf sprint. So we'll talk to Nicole. We'll get her report. Mike Welch is in the air. He's on his way to Louisville, and he'll be clocking at Churchill this weekend any number of Breeders' Cup horses that are making, you know, in most cases, you know, probably a pretty important near final, you know, serious preparations. I mean, there'll be horses that, you know, that have easy works in the 2 weeks leading up. But you know, when you're 2.5-3 weeks out, the serious works get put in. McKinsey, six furlong with the extended gallop out, et cetera. Midnight Bisou as well out at Santa Anita. All of those are at XB. We'll talk to Jeff Siegel tomorrow on that front. But Mike will join us tomorrow. We'll get the sprint report from him. And you know, the sprint is as we've been repeating, the sprint is looking like it's going to be top heavy with talent. And after a few lean years, this is a sprint that lives up to what had really from the origins of the Breeders' Cup as an event was always one of the most important and most anticipated. And then it's been kind of wandering in the wilderness. We'll talk to Nicole also about a few of the sales pieces next week. You've got the October sale phasing, and we'll get some other quick hits in on the sales front with Nicole Russo. Dick Powell is going to join us after the first break. We've got plenty to do. We'll wrap up the 2019 Presque Isle season and the McDermott. We'll save that result. Mike Trombetta. And today, the HBPA stakes close it out at Presque. We'll also get a Hong Kong report in with Dick as well. Talked to Steve Haskin last night, and poor Steve is just in agony, frankly. I doubt he'll put in a full visit later this morning, but I do want to get him to talk a little bit about, what a special week it was after we left him last Wednesday. He gutted it out, and he's paying the price for it now with his leg. It's just, we kid Steve, but he's really not a complainer in the real sense. But it's obviously, he obviously didn't do the leg any favors with that week in Kentucky, tromping around the farms and doing the tours and so forth. So we'll catch up with Steve. We'll have Tony, of course, talk to him a little bit, and Rich Ang. And we'll see if there's a chance that Seth is feeling better, and we'll get him back in after he was a vet scratch yesterday. A couple of news items, including that situation that feels like another bit of an ambush, to be honest. The story that emerged from West Virginia about the mare left at a landfill. And actually, when T.D. Thornton has got a piece in TDN, and I saw the name, I remember her as a New York bred that at the beginning of her career had a long career. And there's a very incomplete picture about what transpired here. And yeah, the image is horrific. The impression is just awful. I will wait for a full picture to come complete on this. Fingers being pointed at the racetrack. For those who don't know what happens to a horse when. When they've been euthanized. I mean, certain states, obviously, everybody goes for a necropsy. If that's not part of a mandate in a jurisdiction, the horses go to a rendering facility, a renderer, the abattoir. That's pretty standard. So it's a little strange. The steps have got to be retraced, because certainly this is not the first horse that has been put down, and typically taken to the renderer. So how did this transpire is the question. So let those dots get connected, and then there'll be appropriate response from all parties involved. You'd like to think. Jerry Hollendorfer turned away from the court in Los Angeles County, in Superior Court, but the judge pointed he and Drew Cuoto in the direction of how to proceed against Santa Anita. Let's take a break. Dick will start us off at the races Thursday. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horseville's.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horseville's.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horseville's.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horseville's.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, coming up at 20 into hour one, Thursday. I mentioned Mike Welch because not only did I want Mike to give us a report on the sprint status, but also because today Gulfstream West, the pick five, I mentioned this on Tuesday, you've got a two-day pick five carryover. 167,000, 163,000, something in that range. So you got to figure this will get a lot of attention, especially with New York canceled. The sequence is races 4 through 8. And I don't know, it I guess it's approachable. It's a little tricky, actually, particularly at the end, a maiden 20. But 16 on two, going a mile on the grass. And, you know, there is, I'll mention, there is, I thought to check the weather because, you know, South Florida. And of course, the famous Calder Cloud. who remembers what was affectionately known as the Calder Cloud? There was always that that cloud that would like park itself there in Miami Gardens invariably. So there is a chance of some thunderstorm activity around 1:30. There's a 50% chance overall, but I keep your eye on that situation. Sequence starts at 2:30. Eight horses in a 16-2 claimer. Then you got eight horses in a maiden 50 for two-year-olds going 7/8. 7.5 on the turf for two-year-olds, a kind of a starter allowance with nine. Then a conditional claimer going 6, 3 and up. There's nine horses in the starter allowance. There's eight in that seventh race. And then in the nightcap, the maiden 20 that is a bit of a grab bag. 12-horse field, and I don't know. 12 of them going 5 on the turf. So, yeah, I don't know. That race, if there's a race in that sequence today, this will draw at least a half a million more. So, and speaking of Gulfstream West, I got to slip in that one of racing's most popular maidens is a maiden no longer. Bodie Express the other day on Monday. I forgot to mention that. Bodie Express very easily at 10 cents on the dollar for Gustavo Delgado. So now Bodie Express, after all his misadventures, he can go on with his career with a diploma in hand. Dick Powell joining us. Dick, how you doing? How was how you feeling? You all right?
I'm good.
Loaded question.
Just I'm not depressed, but I'm just kind of sick of going to the hospital.
Yeah.
Having this one was kidney stones.
Hey. Yeah.
8.7 millimeters, so you're not going to pass that size. So they had to go in and blast it, and that was a 1-day procedure. So I had to get out Tuesday night. Recovered yesterday. Feel good today. You know, onward and upward.
Good. All right. Well, I hear you. I always having had up to this point in my life, the only real serious thing that I've ever dealt with this eye scenario, I can certainly empathize with. Anything at this point, having had my first brush with a health related issue. A couple of things, Dick. Certainly, Presque Isle season has been really fun, and boy, did the racing office put the spurs to the entry box. What a great couple of days leading up to today, with just amazing 98 horses plus 9 on the AE list.
Yeah, it's been. I was worried about it going the other way towards the end of the meet, but no, just the opposite. So we've been having races with 12, 2 AEs, full fields, 9 races, a couple of nights where 8 wasn't going to do it, and money gets spread out, and everything that we look for has been there the last week or so. So that's been really good, and a kind of a pleasant surprise that the field sizes increased as the meet went on. And part of that, I toot their horn all the time, but the Tapita track, the rate of attrition is far less. So the horses that are racing on it stay sound. They can keep racing on it. And the amazing thing the last few nights is how many of these horses have had one or two starts in October already. They're making like their third start of the month by October 17th. So they jump all over. You'll see a 5 claimer go into allowance company. They're just looking to get in a race. The horses are fit, and they're going to try them anywhere. So, yeah, nice big field with Presque Isle.
Well, and a review of the stakes that we talked about last week, and indeed it was Mike Stidham with that Albert Park, and Stidham has been, not just Stidham, but Godolphin worldwide is on an insane tear. I mean, every time you look up, there's another Godolphin stake winner. And then in the debutante, you had New York Groove, and nice for John Burke to keep the money in town. The invaders get the barbarians at the gate were turned away. And then last night, the 2-year-old boys, the Pennsylvania Breds, the Golden Sense Colt, this one sent out by Mike Trombetta for Marie, his wife. So this was one of those winners that makes the whole household happy.
Yeah, he was very good. These were PA breds, but you know the one is by Golden Sense out of the Umbria Saint Mare. So certainly had a big pedigree. Sat third off the speed. Nice move around the turn. Looked like Gaiotto could take the lead anytime he wanted. And finally, when they straightened out, he put the pedal down, opened up clearance, and then Weed Whacker drifted out in the stretch and interfered with some of the other closes. So it's like a NASCAR race. You're in the lead, and you look in your rearview mirror, and everyone's crashing. So they're not going to catch me today. So news to me was just very, very good. And one thing that's been noticeable, Steve, as the meet went on, especially into September, October, the track got faster. Last night, 109.68. We had a 108 and change the other day. The Tapeva tightens up with coolness. You know, the hot sun kind of breaks it up a little bit and might be a little bit, not necessarily tiring, but the running times might not be as fast. But since the weather's cooled off, they've been running very, very fast times there. So 109.68. They tried him on turf. He didn't particularly like the turf sprint, but I wouldn't be surprised if they try him back there. But you got this, you know, you got a nice Pennsylvania bred that you can always pop into these races at Parks and National, and Prescott is closed until April. But you got a lot of opportunities with that type of horse, and then open company is not out of the question.
Well, he's made three career starts and on three different surfaces.
Yes.
I
think the Stidham example is a good one because he has that barn at Fair Hill, and his horses just seem to have prospered since settling in the one location. That he has a command base there, and he can go to Prescott, he can go to Belmont, he can go to Laurel, he got all sorts of options that he can take horses to, especially stake horses. And they're training in a nice atmosphere and staying healthy and sound. They got a lot of rehabilitative equipment down there to help horses overcome issues. So Mike's been killing it. And then Godolphin, like you said, all over the world, including they have a nice horse in the Everest, Alizé. It looked like they might have more than one, but the one horse went bad or just wasn't ready to come back in the Everest. So they got one in the Everest, and that's on the checklist of races we have to win. So they won the Melbourne Cup last year. That horse will be back, and now they're taking a shot at the Everest where they got to beat your horse, Santa Ana Lane.
Well, and
they'll take some money.
I certainly, I would, looking forward, 1:15 Eastern time, by the way, on Friday, Friday night on the 18th. So technically, the morning of the 19th, obviously. So 1:15 Saturday morning for us in the East, and looking forward to it, the Everest. And as I've mentioned, I've got Santa Ana Lane in the charity contest and running for the racetrack chaplaincy of North America, and would certainly love to see Santa Ana Lane win this, a 7-year-old gelding that I had seen his name, Dick. It's been fun to get to know a little bit about him by getting involved in this. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Did you see the post position draw for the Everest?
Live or just in or just
well, what,
the way
what they did, they drew the horses And instead of having, you know, a board and someone goes up and hangs a number, they had a light show at the Sydney Opera Company, that iconic opera building on the water in Sydney Harbor. So, like, when they would pick, you know, number one is so-and-so, and then the colors and everything would be displayed over the opera company.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool. I mean, if you want to go all in, this was all in. they did that, and, you know, the race is in Sydney at Randwick, so they're gearing up for a big day. And the fun part of those days is the undercard is usually tremendous. So I know the Everest is tough. It's not certainly not an easy race to pick, but then you look at the undercard, and you got some really good horses and some, I think, very good opportunities. So that will be fun. One final thing with Prescott. We talked and talked and talked about this jockey race. And it went back and forth, Morales, Gallardo, Morales. Well, Gallardo got super hot. He had 5 winners the other night, 4 last night. Morales only had 1. So going into tonight, it's 154 to 150. So Morales still has an outside chance, but the minute Gallardo gets a win or 2, it's over. So that's been a lot of fun. And the amazing thing is, the next leading rider has like 54. About, I mean, they've lapped the field. They've lapped them, and then they're coming around.
That's amazing.
And they're lapping them again. And considering they've only run 800-something races there, to have 2 riders between them with 300 wins, it's just remarkable. And yet, here we are last night, first love. Gallardo won with news to me. That pays 5-something. But the opener, he's on he's on a favorite, then he comes right back, pays 1160. You know, they're not all odds-on chalk. You can get a price on these guys because they move horses up. So especially, I like when they're getting on a horse for the first time. And one thing I always look at is, you know, you get a trainer that doesn't have a lot of wins or doesn't have a lot of starters, and then next thing, they get this big rider. Now, it might be the agents obviously trying to fill the card and have a mount in every race. It also might be, you know, that the trainer has word that, hey, this horse is really training good, ready to go, and he's getting on a live horse, and it's not going to take the money it would be if it was, you know, on with one of the leading trainers. So that's been a lot of fun. Hopefully someday we'll be able to bet on things like that. We'll have prop bets on leading rider, leading trainer, or stuff like that. And I know it's pie in the sky, but we've had a lot of pie the last 18 months with sports betting. And hopefully proposition wages and fixed odds wages will be coming.
You mentioned on the trainer side, Teresa Conley got the title wrapped up. And I will mention that we're kind of waiting. I haven't seen an update about Cadet Conley, whether she's still thinking juvenile turf for him.
I have not seen that myself, but I'm looking at the trainers. I think Jerry Brooks wound up winning the trainer title. I'm on Equibase, but my Wi-Fi today is just horrible.
Oh, actually, you know what? I was looking at earnings. Yep. Earnings, Connolly, $870,000, and then in terms of just raw wins, 51 for Brooks. And 43 for Connolly, but she won a lot more money in less starts. Dick, that is interesting. 184 starts, and yet she won $200,000 more on the season than Jerry Brooks did.
And how much did Ron Potts have in earnings?
Potts very close, $838,000 with 160 starts. So he had a very good season.
He had a stakes winner. I know what his main guy is, Yuba Villagomez. And I know they want to stake together. And, yeah, they all had good meets. Brooks had the most wins. And it looks like Gallardo wraps it up tonight with a four-length lead with nine. You know, it's like you're playing golf. You're up 4 shots and you're just heading to the back. So
yeah, exactly.
Going to run out of holes here pretty soon. But
it's amen corner. Some thoughts, Dick, about the stake tonight, and maybe that allowance seventh too came up great. Field of 12.
Yeah, the stake race is the HVPA Pennsylvania Stakes. And our guy, Todd Mostola, is the executive director of the Pennsylvania HBPA. I wound up, they're going a mile and 70, and I wound up going with the 7, Darcy May. Horse for course angle, 4 out of 6, a second and a third, so she's never been out of the money there. She was good second in the Northern Plain. Now, granted, that's a state-bred race, but she ran 136 and change. I mean, she just ran terrific that night. Then she turned back to a sprint, 1 and 9 and change. Then they stretched her back out, and she's right there with open company. She wins. She runs third by a neck in very fast time. So just nothing not to like about it. She gets Morales. She draws well. I don't really want to be down in the inside unless I have a ton of speed, because I think those horses are going to get shuffled. So I think number 7, Darcy May, at 10-1 morning line, kind of sticks out because it's one of those races that's pretty wide open. The 10 imply got hurt by the post position draw, but she has a big late kick, so she could be coming late. And the 1, Monte Cristo, Mike Trombetta, Country Life Farms. But then, you know, been off the board all year, but has been facing better. And mostly on turf, she did run okay up a Woodbine on Tapita. So she's coming in to try Prestyle's Tapita for the first time. But she certainly has back class, and she certainly has to be fit and ready. She had 2 starts in September. Mike's been just sending in 1 live horse after another. So we'll try to win the last stakes of the year with the 7, and we'll use the 10 and the 1 underneath. And then race 7, real nice first level open company allowance race. I went with the 2 Caloric. Michelle Winters trains this one. This horse has kind of changed bonds a bunch of times. But since coming to Presk, the last 2 starts was a good second, and that opened $45,000 handicap. I mean, that's as good as a stake race. And she's only beaten 2 lengths and 1:15 and 3. That's super time going 6.5. That's what they're going tonight. Then the son of State Thirsty came back, and Michelle got her into this allowance level and missed by a neck in 109-1. So from the inside, I think we can get a little bit of a trip, save ground. Hopefully we find some space in the lane. Ariel Ayala will be riding for Michelle Winters. So that's number 2, Caloric. And underneath him, we'll use the 8, Hurricane Hill, who looked very good breaking this maiden last time out. Now moves up to winners for Linda Rice. And Ron Potts sends out number 5, Temple City Star, who's coming in off 3 straight seconds, all solid efforts, all going 2 turns. Now he takes this son of Temple City and turns it back to a long sprint with his main man, Yuba Villagomez, at 32% riding together. So we're going to go 2 and underneath 8 and 5.
What's wrong with Potts' other horse, that City Storm, who seems to keep moving forward?
Nothing wrong with I can't pick them all.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, 15. I'm just saying, 15-1. Take a look at the and as it happens, Garcia wins with him as well. They click at 20%. Giovanni Garcia, City Storm, whose last was the best yet, and granted, you know, up in class, but I don't know. Sometimes you see those horses that start to rise like a hot air balloon, and they just keep going up.
Yeah, and the race he comes out of also went in 9-1, so he's been running in fast 5 claimers, and now he moves up to allowance, and you'll get a price on him.
Yeah, 15-1, you know, and comes from a little bit off. There actually is not a ton of pace in here either. That is one element of this. But anyway, it is just 98 horses in 9 races to close out the season at Presque Isle. And we thank, you mentioned Todd, and, I heard from plenty of people who had never really looked. We say this every fall, Dick. People that hadn't looked before, they got interested, and they've had a lot of fun playing and doing well at Presque Isle, and it's been fun.
Yeah, I enjoy it, and there's enough angles to whet my appetite. You know, you do them every day. You notice things. You connect things, stuff like that. Some of them work. You know, it's just a lot of fun. I like the time. I'm not staying up till 11 o'clock at night betting horse race, honestly, by 10. So 5:30 to 8:30, nice timing
Perfect.
For me.
Perfect.
Works out.
Well, when you do have to stay up for some Hong Kong action, although the other morning we're able to basically wake up and start playing at Happy Valley, and you know, up until the time the show started, I was keeping an eye on what was going on Hong Kong action.
Yeah, they ran Happy Valley on Wednesday. The week before was that Saturday card at Sha Tin. So Friday night, I dawned on me, you know, Hong Kong's coming on in a couple hours. So I went onto the website. I looked at the live odds of different races. We gave out a dollar somebody with a dollar reward in one of the races for Saturday. And I saw his price was going to be legit, so I bet him. He paid $21.90, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the big shock was Ethero, who beat Beauty Generation in a trial. Now, okay, it's a trial, but they went 57 and change. They were smoking in this trial, and John Moore was ecstatic about him. Now, he did get beat first up, not that unusual, and then he comes back. In a 5-furlong straightaway sprint, he breaks the track record of Sacred Kingdom, goes 54.69, and pays $8.60. So when I got up in the morning, and I was like, wow. They bet there was another speed horse, and then the money went to the other speed horse, surprisingly enough. So that was, to me, that was just a huge overlay for a horse of that quality to pay $8.60. Yes, so we were happy about that. And our man, Matt Coon, brought in a $50 horse.
Unbelievable.
Likely to do, like every couple of weeks. Here comes Matt Coon. This one's trained by Jimmy Ting. And it's just amazing. You can't tell which one's going to be the horse, but you got to look at him on anything that can run and don't even worry about the price. This one went gate to wire in race number 4 Saturday, so... Joe Marrera has five winners on the card. So he's just pulling away in the jocks race. Ricky Yu trying to have 3. Danny Shum continues to win at high rate. He had 2. And, you know, just the usual assortment. 3 favorites of the 10 won, but it was a really nice spread of a couple of favorites, 3 favorites, a couple of mid-level horses, and then the 25 to 1 shot, kind of the icing on the cake. So that was Saturday. Then yesterday at Happy Valley, they had there were 8 races. Karis Teton had a pair. Nick Callen had a pair. Only one favorite. For the most part, it was kind of a chaotic day as far as winners. The lowest price up until the second to last race was 9-1. Then a 4.9-1 horse won the 7th race, and then the favorite won the 8th race. So nice mix, but mostly long shots at Happy Valley on the turf. And John Moore had 2 winners, so he's doing well with that competition. So after yesterday, Danny Shum has 12 winners, Tony Cruz 9, Ricky Yu 8, and then the 4 trainers with 7 winners. So that's really tightly bunched. As far as the trainers, the jocks, Joe Marrera, 24, Zach Purton, 18, Karis Teton, 14, and then big drop-off to 5. So those 3 jocks are pulling away, and they're getting the business, they're getting the hot life horses, and they're doing very well. The other guys, that's where you're going to get a price if you have the right one. But the 3 leading riders are off to real good starts. So that's been one trend we've seen. And we're back on Sunday. So a couple of different things here, Steve. Post time is 12:15 Hong Kong time. So meaning 12:15 a.m. East Coast, but 9:15 West Coast. So if you're in the West Coast, Nevada, California, wherever you are out there, you're getting these races you know, really prime time, good timing.
Yeah.
And do what I do, and more and more people, I think, will catch on to this. Go to the website, go to HKJC, look for current odds, and 24 hours before the race, you will see the win and place prices for all the races, not just the first race, all the races. So you can scroll through the race, you can look at the odds, and there's decent money in the pool that you're not going to see gigantic odds shifts. The big thing when you have pools that are as liquid as their pools are, they don't move around that much. They move around, obviously, some, but they'll give you a good indication of where the money's going and what it's going to be like when they get the post time. So that's a big advantage that you can do Friday night. If you're watching live, great. If you're going to be like me, make some bets, go to bed. At least you've got a real good idea of where the money's going. And the 12:15 post is new. It had been at 1 o'clock. Now it's 12:15. So West Coast people basically get just more than half the card in before midnight. And the East Coast people, if you want to watch the first couple, it's not that late, especially.
Nope.
Australia's not going to work because that's Friday night, Saturday. This is Saturday night, Sunday. But you know, if you like these races, it's worth staying up for. And
What are we looking at this week?
Well, we have Beauty Generation back.
Unbelievable.
Which is one of the highest rated horses in the world. Comes back, one track record time. First up, going 7 furlongs, looks sensational. Even after John Moore said, you know, he might need a start or whatever. Now he comes back. There's a Group 2, the Chatin Trophy Handicap. It's about $600,000 purse. It's race number 8 at Chatin this weekend. And Beauty Generation carries 133 pounds. The next highest weight is 119, so he's conceding 14 to that horse, and basically 20 to the rest of the field. So he's got the refrigerator on him, but made no difference last time out when he won for fun. And this is a lead-up to the Longines races in December, but I'm sure John Moore will go in a mile in that. So we get to see him right back. I mean, he ran on October 1st, and here he is right back less than 3 weeks later. So Beauty Generation, one of the highest rated horses. And somehow, these people that do the international ratings, he wins off the layoff and breaks the track record. And I think they deducted a pound from his rating. I didn't quite understand that. But he is there. So the question is, can we make money on the race? Well, the last time he raced, the 9 horse, Kai Ying Star, ran 2nd at 13-1. He and a $15 Quinella. Now that $15 Quinella doesn't sound that much. When you look up the price, it says 75. That's because they have $10 increments in their betting display. But I think Kai Ying Star has a big chance to run 2nd again. Tony Cruz seems confident with the horse. Karis Teton rides back. So I'm going to look at a Quinella 1-9. In race 8, and I'm going to go on the current odds as late as I can get before I fall asleep and see what the place price is going to be on Kai Ying Star. And the last time it was $5-6, I mean, very generous, even with the odds on a favorite in there. So we're going to, you know, just look around. Obviously a lot of fun watching Beauty Generation run, but there might be a way of making a little money, not a lot. You're not going to get a $300 exact out of this, but you might bet $300 and make some decent money with a $6 exact. Well, not an exact Quinella. But that's what I'm looking in Beauty Generation's race. And then race number 3 is another Group 2. This is the Premier Bowl Handicap. They're going a mile, long run down the backstretch, one right-hand turn for home. I'm going with Full of Beauty, who's been in against very good ones all year. Return to the races on October 1st with a nice neck win. Going 5 furlongs, very fast, 55.16. Now he stretches out to 6, but he has 5 wins at the 6 furlong distance already, so that's not going to be an issue. John Size is the trainer. Joe Marrera is going to ride. They drew a post 3. So that one looks super tough, and then I'll play him, depending on what the prices are, I'll play him with the Marie Gunnison. from John Size, and number two, Rattan, who was a very nice sprinter in New Zealand and Australia years ago. He's now in Hong Kong. He's still only 6 years old. He's a gelding. Ran pretty well against Beater Generation when he faced him in the past, and actually ran real well last time against Full of Beauty. That was his first start off the layoff, so he should come on from that race. And but I think Full of Beauty with 120 pounds is going to be very tough in here. So we'll probably just play straight Cronulla 6, 6-2, 6-8, but then check those place prices of the other two, not the favorites. We'll actually see what Full of Beauty's odds are going to be and then go from there. But that's a nice race. So two nice stake races, both group status at Sha Tin, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
Very good. Well, Dick, I appreciate the updates on both fronts. We'll start to keep an eye on Breeders' Cup, start to get some input on that front. And, of course, also since we talked last, the decision to bring Enable back for another season. We got the Ascot day on Saturday morning. Ascot, we'll see about horses like Magical and Japan and Deidre and what subsequently their decisions are going to be. So we'll be counting on you, as always, for some international perspective leading into Cup.
Oh, over a muddy track. They already moved three of the races to the other course. And they've had so much rain. That track will be just as gooey and as wet as could be.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting, because we've seen horses come out of this and go to the Breeders' Cup, even with the 2 weeks. We saw Found run in New York, run in British Champions Day, and then go to the Breeders' Cup Turf and beat Golden Horn. So, if anything's going to get you fit,
going over a heavy
on soft turf, that'll get some bottom into you. But
exactly,
it'll be interesting to watch those races, because the weather has just been just god awful. So we'll see what the track comes up. You might see some specialists wake up suddenly.
Well, and with the decision pending on bricks and mortar, I mean, we're looking forward to talking to Steve Anderson from DRF2, who handles the turf. There are no less than four uncertainties: Japan, Vaultgeist, Magical, and Deidre among the turf possibles. And, Vaultgeist, I really haven't heard much muttering at all from the Faber camp, but if O'Brien doesn't show up with one or both Japan and Magical, he does have Anthony Van Dyke, who looks probable. But then, Deidre, we'll see. This field could be at bricks and mortars complete mercy, the way this thing might turn.
Yeah, especially, a tight turf course that's going to be firm. I wouldn't worry about his ability to get a mile and a half.
No, I agree.
Under different circumstances, I might, but zipping around those turns and firm turf, I think it's kind of made for him. So.
Yeah, that's the way they're leaning. And, some of the potential, one potential obstacle enable already out of the way. Dick, glad you're okay, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, Steve, thanks.
Dick Powell, everybody. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Nicole Russo is going to join us. We'll get a report from her on the Turf Sprint. And this is another event that has seemingly been not overlooked, but is being bypassed by some of the more high profile names in the turf sprint world, as it were. And it doesn't mean it's going to be a small field by any means. There's a lot of horses interested, but from an international standpoint, right now, Eddie Haskell, Pee Wee Reese, Totally Boss on the international front. Well, Fairyland, we'll see what happens with Fairyland. But other than that, it's this one looks like mostly a win for America. I will mention one turf sprinter that's going to go to stud in the U.S. How about the news yesterday after we got off the air with Sid? Hill and Dale, lost treasure. And I'm looking forward to talking to John Sikora, and he'll give you the whys and wherefores. You know, Galileo female family, Warfront son, but lost treasure. Another one of those international pedigrees added to the roster at Hill and Dale. As we go to the break, too, before Nicole joins us, Jay Hubdy of the Blood Horse on racing. Jay makes a great point, because the first part of that race is going to be coming off the hill. So they sort of jog a little bit on that jug handle and then really start to run after they cross the dirt. So Jay brings up a great point for Bricks and Mortar. It really isn't a full 12 furlong in the pure sense of it. So good point, Jay. I appreciate that. Let's take a break. Coming up actually close to hour two, so we might shift some things around. But Nicole Russo, looking forward, as always, to a visit from her. Turf Sprint and more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't stop shaking. The room has a groove and the floor is almost earthquaking.
We're back at the races, 10 o'clock straight up, actually. And Nicole Russo joining us from the Daily Racing Form. And, of course, Nicole's beat is the Bloodstock Trade. And when it comes to Breeders' Cup season, she will chip in on the coverage. And she's taking care of the turf sprint. The field, and in fact, a notation that Nicole had in one of her category division write ups, you know, kind of a an area that I think when the Breeders' Cup introduced the turf sprint, they figured it'll get big international participation. It has not been very productive, though, in its since its introduction.